Dirty Moderates, it is the day after the Milwaukee Brawl Fest, the shit show, the food fight, as my producer called it, the gross parade. I'm talking about the Republican debate. But before we dive into it, and this is going to sound a little hippy-dippy for some of you, but, you know, I still believe in politics, believe in America and all that stuff. And remember when two parties functioned, even if you didn't like a Democratic Party or Republican Party, they existed in their old-fashioned form of yore. For about an hour last night, the Republican Party was sans Trump. Yeah. It was like, is this the party after 2024, or is this like the future times, or are we weirdly in the before times, and is this just a tease, or was I romanticizing? I don't know. But again, that first hour, right, you know, the stage was, the center stage literally was occupied by the tech bro and impudent brat of the evening, as I like to call him, Vivek Ramaswamy. 38-year-old entrepreneur who thinks he should be president for knowing jack shit about jack shit. But there they were. One woman, Nikki Haley, who I thought ran away with the debate, we'll talk about that in a minute, taking it to all the other seven guys up there, trying to be the same conservative, the same Republican, though clearly a bygone era, and maybe an era that can't be reclaimed. But in this first primary debate, there were eight Republicans up there, and it seemed like, blessedly, it was absentia Trump, Trump-free, without the Trump, right? Like, where there could actually be debates among a party that could credibly, not that they did, but could credibly, in this little ideal world, offer an alternative to the Democratic Party. Not a anti-democratic, pro-authoritarian cult of personality by a man who was out on bail in four jurisdictions following four indictments. No. So it doesn't matter, let me say this up front, because the Trump 2024 resurgence, which is what it is, despite all his legal woes, is going to continue to make him the front runner for the Republican presidential nomination, and he's going to be the nominee. That's right. So we can imagine and hope and dream and sort of feel like maybe even there's been a fumigation, right? It's like poof and it's gone. That was, you know, as was once said about Richard Nixon, our long national nightmare is over. But that's not to be. He wasn't there. The other eight people showed up. He didn't. But as Brett Baer, one of the evening's moderators from Fox News, said, he was the elephant not in the room. And for a brief moment, warming the hearts of those centrists and independents who remember the party of Lincoln and Eisenhower and Teddy Roosevelt and Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush, that there was moments of, wow, what we used to have and what might have been, but isn't. Okay? Trump is leading by double-digit margins. He is, of course, a former president. He is trying to do a Grover Cleveland, the only American president, a Democrat, but Democrat, mind you, of a different era in the 19th century, who won, lost re-election, and then won again. So amidst it all, though, Trump is hovering over this thing, looming larger than life always, because he just didn't participate in debate. He sat down with Tucker Carlson on Tucker's own new program. Although he looked deflated and weak, continued his conspiratorial rants, his nonsense, his Rodney Dangerfield-esque Benito Mussolini comedy show. Although it's not a comedy, it's American tragedy. But the moment came. Right? And we're going to get back to the other contenders in a second. But the moment came when Brett Baer, right, about an hour in, said, okay, Then there are only two questions in the entire 2 hours on Trump, the elephant not in the room. Okay. They asked whether if Donald Trump was convicted, would they still back him, him being Trump, as the GOP nominee next year? All but Chris Christie and Asa Hutchinson, the former governor of Arkansas that nobody cares about, only they said that they would not. Yeah, so there it went. I mean, for pretty much 8 years since he came down the escalator, we have had Trump strangling us, literally sucking the oxygen out of the room, turning every Republican policy gathering into his own psychodrama, his own braggadocious forum, turning the party of Lincoln into his own fiefdom for his own benefit, him being neither a Republican, he was always a Democrat, he's actually a nothing, he's a Trumpist, and neither a conservative, he's not. And, but you still can't help but say, God, for an hour, were we breathing last night? Anyway, Nikki Haley, who unfortunately rose her hand to say she still would support Trump, seemed to undermine everything she had stood for that night. Now, granted, she was Trump's ambassador to the UN, and I would argue a rather good one, a stirring defender of Israel, which she mentioned last night as well. But, and she was very, we did an episode on her. I've always thought she's probably running for a vice president anyway. We have an episode on that back in March. But I've always liked Nikki, and I was disappointed that she ever had anything to do with Trump. She was a very successful two-term governor of South Carolina who took the Confederate flag down in the wake of a white supremacist shooting. And she showed herself last night to me, in my opinion, to be the most formidable, the only adult in the room, the only one who wasn't really running to be a Trump acolyte or to be an ambassador of Trumpism, but to actually look toward a general election. You could say that's presumptuous because she isn't going to have a shot at being the nominee. She probably won't even be on the ticket. Trump probably won't pick anybody on that stage who challenged him tonight, last night in that debate or for the nomination. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. But Nikki was the one who could massage those messages for independent voters who have left what would have been the McCain-Romney Republican Party and now gone off to support Joe Biden. Some of them supported Hillary, but not enough. And then in 2020, most of them flocked over to Biden. In 2022, they voted for democracy. They voted because the Republican-led Supreme Court, Republican-appointed Supreme Court, took away Roe v. Wade. They voted on abortion rights. These are people who are in the middle. They do want less government, but they do want gun control. And they want to know their kids are safe, and they also don't want to have every political debate revolve around some fictitious idea that there's a woke monster in the closet hiding or under the bed, ready to steal their children, make them trans, and fill their head with critical race theory, which isn't taught in primary schools, contrary to the Republican contentions. Now, Nikki Haley's there, threading the needle on abortion, saying women should be put in jail for abortion, right? Come on. Standing up for Ukraine, calling Putin a murderer, saying that actually the Republicans did the spending fiasco that were into themselves, both because, yes, they did do a COVID stimulus. Trump sent everybody checks too, and that was about $2.2 trillion. But even before the $8 trillion, roughly, that Trump added to the debt, $3.5 trillion of that came from his spending policies between 2017 and the beginning of 2020. So, yeah. He did add that to the debt, and Nikki said, Biden didn't do this to us. Republicans did this to us. So along with telling people on that stage and to supporters, quote unquote, to stop demonizing abortion, she was there, right, to stick it to loudmouth Ramaswamy, who clearly went to Trump finishing school. Right. It's like he went into this like MAGA factory, though he is Indian, son of immigrants and brown and young. He's a tech bro. Right. He of Harvard undergrad and Yale law school. Clearly no dummy. Made a lot of money. OK. Doesn't mean he knows anything. I mean, this guy says last night, quote, Ramaswamy, I find it offensive that we have professional politicians on the stage that will make a pilgrimage to Kyiv to their Pope Zelensky without doing the same thing for people in Maui or the south side of Chicago, or Kensington. Kensington is a rough area of Philadelphia, by the way, for those that don't know. Okay, He finds it offensive. All right. And then worse, here's what I find offensive, and no Republican really stuck in there. Nikki Haley did, of course, again, say, yes, climate change is real, but asked whether human behavior create global emissions and climate change. Ron DeSantis, by the way, who had the dazzle of your grandmother's old armoire last night, he resisted answering it, okay? But Vivek is how you pronounce it, like cake, Vivek, denounced, quote-unquote, the climate change agenda as a hoax. Nikki Haley said it's not a hoax. We have to pressure China and India to lower their emissions. That is true. If those major polluters don't, doesn't mean we don't do our work here, but we are on the same globe, okay? America, people who are environmentally conscious, that should be all of us who care about this, and we do. Sometimes people on the left forget that we don't live in a bubble. We're not domed in. And yeah, it is the responsibility. It doesn't mean we don't do anything here, but to Democrats, you've got to be honest to people with others and say there are polluters on this earth, and we share this earth. We are not siphoned off. We are not cordoned off. Okay. But all of these policy differences that we're talking about, right, have been subsumed by Trump and his unraveling of American norms and precepts, right? His lies, his criminality, his awful behavior. Okay? His the endless cycle of drama. You know, there's been that freedom, though, even though he's still been around, when he's been off Twitter since the election, that every day with the hate tweets and the fights, and he's still doing it, but he does seem smaller by comparison. And Truth Social, though many of us share it on bigger sites, you know, is speaking to a very, very MAGA audience. But Trump's legal woes are his morass of his own doing. He has still not conceded the 2020 election, which is outrageous that anybody could still support him. You do realize that, and I've said it again, he has not yet conceded. Forget the big lie. Not that it's not huge. It's huge. It's the basis of two of his indictments. But he hasn't conceded the election. Okay? But Ron DeSantis was supposed to be the next guy. Okay, he's supposed to be, if Trump falters or for some reason got ill or couldn't run, it would be DeSantis. But was he even on that stage last night? Yeah, he had a few remarks, but he, as usual, seems stiff and awkward with a really creepy smile. And I don't know, his big takeaway, he's going to invade Mexico. You know, declare an act of war on our southern neighbor because of the cartels. Look, there are valid conversations to be had about this. There was a little-known governor of North Dakota. If you're looking at the TV, he was all the way to the right, all the way to the right. He's worth $3 billion, governor of a state many of us have never been to, primarily a farm state, who did make the point that more than 200,000 people have died of fentanyl since Biden's been president as part of a larger problem at the border. This is not to demagogue the border. This is to say that our immigration judges, there are not enough of them. We don't balance enforcement with asylum in the right way. We have too many people coming and no way to process them. Nothing to do with race. People are coming again from Cuba. They're coming from all over. They're coming from many places. And by the way, the fentanyl gets to Mexico through China. And then we've got these cartels right under our nose and we need to talk about them. Do we need to be going to war against Mexico? Our North American, along with Canada, compatriot? No, we do not. But these are valid points. Again, moment of policy, rather than the demonization of immigrants, of people at the border, of saying we don't have an asylum policy, of building a wall, of separating parents from children, all the Trump crap. Nikki Haley did seem solution-oriented. And that's one of the reasons I think she walked away from it, because we are looking for the adults in the room. We don't have that. Joe Biden is clearly an adult, arguably maybe too much of an adult, because he's 80, be 81 next year, be 86 if he gets a second term, and he does seem weak. But he is all we've got, folks. You watch that stage and you see everybody but two, Chris Christie and Asa Hutchinson, who are not going to back Trump. Doesn't matter, because they're not going to get the nominee. And you say it's America or Trump, as I say all the time. Joe Biden's the guy. There are no perfect candidates, by the way. There is this counterfactual that if there were no Joe Biden and no Vice President Kamala that we would be finding this magic person. The Democrats have a great bench, by the way. I should say that. A lot of bullshit out there. Gretchen Whitmer, Michigan's fantastic. Roy Cooper, North Carolina. Andy Beshear, Kentucky. These are all governors. Jared Polis in Colorado. There's a lot of people coming down the pike. A lot of governors, which is always good, who've got some real mojo. I think Pete Buttigieg will make a comeback once he gains a little more experience. And there's a lot of people out there, okay? But let's not kid ourselves. There's no perfect candidate right now. An incumbent has a right to seek re-election. Biden has done a good job. You don't have to agree with him on everything. But it's going to be Trump versus Biden. And what choice do we have? I mean, Vivek Ramaswamy, who had a lot of dazzle last night, no question, when he was going after everybody up there, he called them all super PAC puppets. He said he's the only one up there who wasn't bought and paid for. Of course, then he, I mean, risibly and uproariously said that Trump was the best president of the 21st century. Of course, Chris Christie took a shot, said he, Adam, said he talks like he's, you know, a robot from ChatGPT. And when Vivek Ramaswamy, who consistently plagiarizes Obama, I'm a skinny guy with a funny name, Chris Christie said, well, that's not good because Obama was an amateur. We don't need more of that. Mike Pence also called Vivek a rookie. Mike Pence, who really was there last night trying to get his mojo on, giving his life to Jesus Christ. Well, more than that, he gave his life almost for good to Donald Trump, whose supporters wanted him hanged for not undermining the Constitution, making bullshit up on January 6th. He deserves credit for that. And he said, I chose a Constitution, I always will. But that's the bare minimum. Mike Pence is a homophobic right-wing lunatic. He is pompous. He is pious. He is holier than thou. As governor of Indiana, he cost the state billions with his stupid homophobia. He used to be, by the way, a shill for the tobacco industry way back when. He calls his wife mother. This guy's such a creep. Okay, yeah, so he did not make up a theory as John Eastman argued he could, John Eastman being a Trump attorney who is under indictment now and turned himself into Fannie Willis's Fulton County police station, not Fannie Willis's, but Fulton County police station yesterday, I believe. John Eastman said you could, a vice president could reject the electors, and he came up with a fake elector scheme. Mike Pence said no. No. And Christie and DeSantis both gave him his credibility last night, and he did do the right thing, but that's the bare minimum. And yet he still brags about the Trump-Pence administration and, you know, make sure that we all know and that he's, you know, got God on his side. He's the only fool up there, not even Ron DeSantis, who signed a 6-week abortion ban in Florida, but wouldn't say whether or not he would do that should he be elected president. Mike Pence said, oh yeah, we have to have a federal abortion ban, you know? I mean, Dobbs sent it back to the states, but it's not a states issue, right? We're big government Republicans now. That's the thing. We're not for limited government, for unlimited government. Let's pass a law after the Supreme Court took away a constitutional right for women to control their own uteri. Let's make sure we ban it. The point being is that this is all bullshit. And all of these positions, Nikki Haley's leadership notwithstanding, but Vivek Ramaswamy and Ron DeSantis and even Tim Scott, people forgot he was on the stage, who left no impression, senator from South Carolina, all these people in one way or the other, right, who are currently still trying to claim the mantle of Trump are just his flotsam and his jetsam. They're just debris in his wake. They're just trying to fill a void that can't be filled because in the end, it doesn't matter. Trump wasn't there, but he was very much there. The elephant who was not in the room is still roaming the earth, and his trunk and his tusks are longer and sharper than they have been. His step is more powerful despite his indictments, and he will be on the ballot next year, and we will only have one choice, and that is to defeat him. Country over party, democracy first. It's America or Trump. You can't have both. You know that. I will never stop saying it and never stop fighting for democracy. Folks, thank you for listening. We are your political port in the storm. I've been doing a lot of TikTok lately. Please join us over there, having lots of fun and hopefully teaching people a thing or two. Lots of MAGA trolling. You got to read those comments. They're pretty great. That's at Dirty Moderate Nation, at Dirty Moderate Nation. And if you are listening to this and aren't subscribed, anywhere you get your podcasts, you can find us. Do it now. Okay. We got so many things coming up for 2024. We are going to guide you through it. You're going to want to be here. with us. We are going to give it to you fair, but we are always on the side of democracy. That is a fact and always will be. That's the truth. Okay, folks, thanks again. Stay dirty, stay moderate, and stay safe.